The basin.
It's awesome. How's everything going, sweetheart?
It's going well. It's been a good day. We are now in our fourth month since
we started
January this year.
Woo!
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing that we've already spent 4 months of doing this podcast.
4 months. That's crazy.
And how does that feel?
I think I love the fact that we are being consistent. Being consistent and balancing it with life.
Yeah.
Being able to sit down here and talk on the camera, talk on the mic, have a conversation, two of us.
Yeah.
It's the fact that we're able to do this is just consistently. It takes time, dedication, but we're here, we're doing this, and I like it.
I like it too. Do you think it's impacting us in a positive way in our communication?
I think so. I think it's making us see like some topics that we have different point of views, like the whole best friend thing.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge thing for us. Like,
that was a big deal.
my wife sees best friends differently than you do, but I like it. My hope is that as we go into the next couple of months, we start diving into some deep heart topics.
Yeah.
So I'm all about the heart. I cannot stay surface level.
Yeah. It's also just reflecting of just how you and I see life as well.
Yeah.
As much as I do think we share core values, which was what makes a couple successful in marriage, but we are still individuals.
Yeah.
And we have our perspective on life.
Yeah.
We have how we approach life. We have what's us makers. But before there was EJ, I was a person.
Yes.
Before there was me, you were a person. But two people coming together, and we've been married for a while, but still, we still like have the differences that's coming to play. So it's interesting. So we have another topic. We're going to be going to a new series as well. We've really spent time to dive deep into friendship. We've talked about relationship. And now we really still kind of talk about relationship, friendship, and there's still that parallel, but we're really going to go into God's plan for us as individuals. From your own understanding, what do you think is God's plan for a man in society?
If we had talked about this like a few years ago, you know that it wouldn't be a big topic.
Yeah.
But I feel like in 2024, that is a big topic, which in my mind, right? It feels weird that it's a big topic.
Mm.
I feel like it's a common sense question.
Mm.
But I'm realizing that with the shift in society, God's plan for a man in society is not as easy to answer. But I would like to answer it from the truth that I know.
Yeah.
And I think God's plan for men in society are to be leaders.
Mm.
When I think about... And for you and I, we are believers that is the foundation of everything that we share, we talk about.
Yeah.
So for me, when I think about a man, I think about a leader.
Mm.
When I think about, no matter what kind of man it is, what personality he has, what job he does, if he's quiet versus loud, if he has a job that allows him to lead or he doesn't, if his wife has a job that allows her to lead and the man doesn't, I think regardless, I look at men as God has designed men to be leaders, regardless. And that doesn't take away from a woman being a leader either. But I always believe that the role of a man in society is to lead.
It's a very simple response.
It's so simple to me.
But it's becoming so complex because I'm not sure if you... There was a video I was watching and there were this show called The View.
Oh, yeah.
And there were like this women were sitting down and they were talking about the role of a man in society.
Yeah.
And they were saying... Oh, it's so funny. Some of these women are actually married and they're talking about how they think men are pretty useless, really. There's nothing for a man for.
Really?
And they,
they use that word useless?
Completely use the term useless. And one of the lady was like, oh, my son came up to me and said he wants a spare mom because mommy has to take care of all the kids. So they don't go to dad, so you know, because they want another mom to be able to take care of them like their mom.
So the woman that was talking has a son.
as a son.
So basically she's saying her son is useless.
That was the feedback that they got to you. You're saying your husband is useless. You're saying your son is useless. You're saying your uncle is useless. You're saying your father is useless. So it's funny how they're saying
that. Wow. Actually believe this.
They're having this conversation. All the women on the table were saying the same. There was a lady that was trying to shift the conversation and say good things about her husband. And she was saying that my husband actually does good things. He takes care of the house. He's able to fix things when it's broken. And there was this lady, the one that is a prominent face on The View. Mm. The next thing she said is, what's the big deal in that? You can always hire somebody to do it.
Wow.
So,
and these are the people that impact the point of view that young people have in society.
And these are the people that, for somebody to be in a show that is widely viewed, that millions of people are watching it. So imagine you have a section of men talking, and then the man said, women are completely useless.
Everyone's gonna go crazy.
The show is gonna be canceled. There's a really double standard. All that to say that
it is a double standard.
What I want to say is, it's becoming very difficult, you know, for a lot of men, to truly be themselves.
Yeah,
because the society is really portraying a negative thing.
Yeah,
there was a time. I mean, I truly support that women should grow into who God has made them to be, cultivate and be the best version. I am not against a woman doing what she's passionate about.
Yeah.
I'm not against a woman being a CEO, being a leader.
Yeah, and they have a lot of women CEOs these days. I honestly think in 2024, that's not a topic
conversation.
It's not a topic of discussion anymore.
It's becoming a way to, right now it almost feels like there's a way to bastardize the aspect of being a man.
Yeah.
But we need the man for the society to function. So what's the role of a man in the society? There are two things that comes to mind. And I've been meditating on this for the whole week, for a while now.
Yeah.
There's one aspect of discipline.
Yeah.
Which means the same.
Yeah.
And the other aspect is the same as discipline.
Yeah.
And that's discipleship.
Yes.
So what makes us
a man
is not, it's not like, oh, I come in a macho, I take control, everybody, I talk, I listen. No.
Yeah.
What makes a man takes a lot more of what we make as priorities, how we discipline ourselves and principles you put in place. So a young girl born into a home, naturally, they gravitate towards their mom, they cultivate it, they learn habit. We have kids.
Yeah.
So my daughters gravitate towards you, they gravitate towards me, they learn. But what comes with being a man of masculinity, it takes a lot more intentionality.
Mm.
Where my daughters can easily pick up on habits of being a woman and being a mother, being a world like that we live in, to be a man takes a little bit more just observing.
Mm.
And it takes more of being able to have some core values in place. It's kind of like in the military, right? They train men to wake up by a certain time.
Yeah.
Or now the military is full of different people.
Yeah.
But it's being able to develop a habit over time that makes you stay. Discipline is being able to say no to many aspects of your life that's going to disadvantage you or lead you on the wrong path. Because we have more things that will get us on the wrong path than more things that will get us on the right path.
Yeah.
So as men, it's very important for us to learn the habit of saying no to things that might look pleasurable. And that's where discipline comes in. Yes, we can say yes to so many things, but what makes us strong is because we need muscles.
Yeah.
And our muscles is not just going and working out and well built. Our muscle is our ability over time to develop habits that make us to resist things that's going to lead us on the wrong path. So it's not about how much money you make. If you have so much money and you lack discipline, you will end up falling in the pit.
That's true.
You have so much money and you don't have self-control.
I mean, we see that every day in sports.
In sports.
it happens a lot.
You don't even need a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you don't have self-control, even for you, there was a time I was in the car with someone, and I think it was your younger sister was getting married, and the guy was dropping me, and he looked at me, it was like, you know, your sister was getting married, and he was like, I don't understand, you know, where I come from, like, you know, men, we just sleep with different women and have babies. It was like, how do you African men, like, how do you guys stay loyal?
Wow.
You know, it was going to a marriage ceremony, and I was like,
wow.
It was like, you know, you're a man. How do you stay loyal? How do you stay faithful? And I'm like, that should not even be a conversation.
It is, sadly. I just feel like as you're talking, what I'm just thinking about is like, I love everything you said about a man's focus and role is tied to discipleship and discipline. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to hear more of that. But I also take a step back and I'm asking, like, when you look at our society that's falling apart, like, it's crazy that The View said it. I'm not surprised The View said it. That's a crazy...
I was going to share that's with a you, crazy, but I was like, I'm not going to say it to you. It was disgusting.
Yeah. It's horrible. But I feel like when I look at society, right, and the breakdown of society, our society is falling apart. We do life with so many people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issues that we have in society right now ties to fatherlessness. We don't want to talk about it, even in the church or in just cultural conversations. This topic of fatherlessness is something that people don't want to talk about because that is the root cause of the breakdown that we are having in people's lives.
It's absolutely.
We say mental issue. We say, this person has emotional. They got to go to a psychiatrist, psychologist, counseling. Almost all issues has a tie to fatherlessness.
Yeah.
Because if we are to acknowledge fatherlessness in society, then we have to acknowledge the mighty, weighty role a man plays in the life of everybody.
A very significant role.
And they don't want to admit. I feel like society, starting from the leadership at the top down, don't want to admit that they've missed it at some point. They've missed it dismantling the importance of men.
Masculinity and manhood.
Masculinity. Like, men are so important that when you take away a man from a home, the children fall apart. The woman falls apart.
Yeah.
The woman might try to say, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But she falls apart when you check her heart. And every young person you talk to that doesn't have a father in their lives, they say it. They talk about the impact, but then once you acknowledge it from a leadership perspective, that fatherlessness is an epidemic in America, in the world, then you are admitting that men are important.
They absolutely.
And it's scary to me.
Yeah.
It's so scary because as a mom that has a son, to hear that there are women out there saying that men are useless. Gosh, they should be taking off the air.
There was actually an article that there was actually I took some like classes and you know, back then we'd take philosophy, and there was one that was called Scum Manifesto by Valerie. Scum Manifesto.
Scum as in S-C-U-M?
S-C-U-M.
Yeah.
Which is by Valerie Solanas, who was a woman who was bitter, who wrote something about, you know, that man. It was a really bitter article. I don't know why they made us read this. It was meant to be a philosophy of talking through what man's role is. And she was really calling for the elimination of men in the society.
Elimination of men in society.
And it was a really... And this was reading back, I believe, in the 1970s, 1960s.
Wow.
You know, it just shows the level of bitterness. But there's one aspect that I talked about discipline. There's a reason why I started with discipline. But there's also an aspect of what makes you a man is discipleship.
Yeah.
And discipleship is what we like right now is men that are focused and the ability to dedicate their lives to disciple other men.
Yeah.
Because
we like that.
What we have is men who are competing with each other.
Oh my goodness.
And men who have lost their priorities.
Yeah.
So they talk about protecting their wife. You know, of course, protect your wife, your children. That's my priority. But it almost feels like their job is to intimidate other men. You see that they compete, or their job is to break down other men.
Yeah.
Any man that looks normal, okay, has a life together. Instead of men seeing it as a way to build around it, they see it as a threat.
As a threat, that's true.
You know, so it looks like on one aspect, we have a culture of people who are not able to say no.
Yeah.
Who don't have discipline in their lives.
Yeah.
And then we also have a culture of men who are not available.
Yeah.
So there are two parts. Even men who are leaders that people look up to, they're not available for other men because they're thinking of, I just want to make ends meet. So a lot of times by thinking of ends meet, they're just thinking of go, 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 go.
Mm-hmm.
Never once have they stopped and say, God, the people that you placed in my life, the men that you've placed in my life, this young man that I'm seeing and you're highlighting, how can I help them to be the version, and how can I bring them into my
raise
world?
Raise them up. Yeah.
And how can I raise them up to be healthy men?
Yeah.
But most men are so focused on
themselves.
I just want to go. I just want to achieve. I just want to have a name for myself.
Yeah.
And I also want to be idolized.
Yeah.
So there's an idol in a man's heart. And a lot of times men have lost that power. Even the masculine guys, they go on the door, they focus on impressing a woman. Then actually, like, the young man that needs to be protected.
And if you think about it like that, that's an older man, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine the younger man watching an older man. They don't have an example to follow but that.
They just don't. They just, if there's a shortage of men who are available.
Yeah.
We can have some good men. There are a lot of good men.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of good men that work, they provide.
Yeah.
And they do have discipline.
Yeah.
So I mentioned the aspect of discipleship, mean that discipleship is availability.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying, I'm busy. But the reality is that we need the culture.
I like what you said, discipleship is availability. I love that. I just wanted to like...
We have women who, the Bible says young women submit to older women. The same way young men submit with older men. I mean, older men, not always in terms of age, but in terms of maturity and growth.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we have a culture of, I just want to be better than the older person. So we have a culture of, we have so many men.
Yeah.
First of all, we've eliminated probably 75% for lack of discipline. And then those who we think have discipline, or they look like good men, who are trying to make better their lives, then there's a question of availability. So they're always, and also that availability is also rooted in insecurity. I want to continue to be the best man, but by that, there's no area or opportunities to pour their lives and say, I want to raise another generation.
Mm.
And most of the time, the availability we end up raising more women because they're the one that we gravitate to and we have a sense of security.
Yeah.
But where it comes with men is intentionality.
Yeah.
We have to pursue them.
You have to, yeah.
And that goes, yes, if you pursue and they say no, and you pursue again and they say no, then say, okay, God, I've done the best where my heart is. I'm drawn to this young man, but I've done everything I could and he has said no.
Yeah.
I will move on and go to the next person.
Yeah.
But you never give up on the man.
Yeah, and a lot of young men have been given up on
quickly.
So quickly. And I also wanna I'm not gonna spend too long on it. You can also see the impact of selfish older men in politics. I'm not gonna spend too much time.
Yeah.
The fact that our office, people who are running for office right now, are like in their 80s, 90s, and they're not raising up anyone younger, and we still have, that's crazy, but that's a good example.
The fact that we can, there's no point, there's no younger person you can point to.
To say this,
The 60s and the 50s and the 70s, there was a generation of people in their 40s and 30s.
Running for office, the banks
that we have was created by people who came, men that got together in their 20s and 30s. They were creative and innovative.
Yeah.
But now it almost feels like we're capped out. There's a juggling to hold on to power. The young men are plateauing.
Mm-hmm.
The older men are not giving up.
Are not giving up. They are not choosing to like step down to mentor and lift up the younger ones.
They are crushing
the younger ones.
Yeah.
And what are the younger ones to do? They just stay there like...
Wait for their time,
waiting for the older ones to die. It's scary.
I'm hoping this person will pass away and make
a way. It sounds sad that we are saying that, but that's the only option. Not until the older person dies before the young ones get an opportunity. It's so scary.
And because you know what the benefit is? The younger man needs the validation of the older man. Because by validation of the older man, people follow. But older men are not validating the younger man. So people don't have a trust
in younger men. Can I take this? People don't have a trust in younger men. Now, the older men who should be mentoring the younger ones are not doing that. They are competing and crushing them. The mothers who should be speaking life to the men who are not getting the validation from their fathers are saying that you are useless.
Competing.
They are crushing them again. And now you wonder why we have a lot of feminine men. I go online and I see a lot of women says, where are all the guys? Where are all the good men? All the good ones are taken. Why are all the men feminine? Or why are they like this? Because the women are crushing men with their words and their feminism ideologies, as well as the men are not pouring into younger men. In our society, my heart goes out to the young men and the young boys. who have been crushed by the words of fathers and mothers, not even their direct fathers and mothers, but like people like you and me, you should be speaking life to them. We are tearing them down. When a young man falls down and makes a mistake, it takes another older man to pick him up.
And if that older man, it doesn't take much for a young man to fall. When to fall, there's very little mercy.
Very little, but women.
No mercy for women.
But women, there's mercy, there's grace, there's compassion. There's like, oh
and
my God.
Other women
come and hug her, but a man falls. It's like, you just hit him.
And then you have other men that wants to crush you.
They want to crush.
There's a lot we can talk about that.
Even,
as a man just who is passionate for God, even within the church, seeing how people are juggling and positioning, you know,
the story of men
you think that they will be there and have hope and trust. You know, and those are the men that they quickly just want to crush you.
Sadly, it happens in the house of God too.
There was one thing that a man of God said a while ago. And he said something. He said, "Those who love money, we use people, and those who love people, we use money."
Mm.
You know, and that's from a sense of that because people are so go-go. A lot of men who are just trying to build up themselves, which is where we are right now. We have a generation of men who are dissatisfied. They want a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're so focused on where they're going, they're not able to see the value, the diamond in the rough. They're not able to cultivate. They want a ready-made man.
Yeah.
They want a man that's coming, that's calm, and bargain. And those are the ones that do damage to what God is calling. They do damage to the ministry. They do damage to the church. Because you're looking for a ready-made man, the man that we can cultivate. Because a lot of men are diamond in the rough. They just need the right words to be activated.
They just need someone to like speak the right words over them.